sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line, being joined by the voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Callis. Our conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. Todd, how's the morale? How are the vibes right now around the team?
I think the guys are happy to have a day off and happy to get some sort of change of scenery. It hasn't been great, obviously. I mean, it's been rough. 7-19 is what it is, and it's the second worst record in baseball. And the Astros never could have imagined themselves here. The guys are good, but I've seen them a lot better.
Todd, you look at everything that's played out, and I there's people that are jumping ship left and right, and people writing this team off and closing the door on the golden era and all these different things. As you look at it and you're traveling with the team, we know that you're starting to get some of the cavalry back. You know you're going to get Fromber back and hopefully Javier right after that. Is that enough? Is it the starting pitching, or are you more concerned with all the runners left on base and not getting those timely hits?
Well, there's definitely concerns. You don't get to this point 12 games under after 26 games without things going the wrong way in a lot of different areas. The risky numbers are terrible. They're obvious. They're not hitting with runners in scoring position. The back end of the bullpen for the leads they've had have not been able to close it out. That first homestand was kind of a tough way to start the season, where they were tied or had the lead in the sixth inning or later of every game and ended up 2-5 on that homestand. And it hasn't gotten much better since then. Having said all that, you're starting to get your starters back, like you said in your question. That'll improve. So you got Fromber coming back this weekend. JB's made 2 starts. Hopefully, shortly thereafter, we'll see Christian Javier. Maybe sometime there after that, we'll see Jose Urquidy. So pieces are starting to come back healthy. And for the most part, this team is who they were last year. It's the same faces. It's the same dudes. The guys are getting hits. They're just not getting hits at the time you need them. So everything that can go wrong for this team has gone wrong. You can call it snake bit. You can call it whatever you want. This has been a terrible 26-game stretch. And even with all that, the last I saw, Fangraphs had them at a 45% chance to make the playoffs. So I'm okay if people want to jump off the bandwagon, as long as you don't jump back on when things go well. I really appreciate the true diehard fans that stay with this team during the tough times. We've had 7 years of amazing, incredible accomplishments to give up on this team that quickly.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Well said there, TK. Todd Callis joining us on the HRNP guest line. We talked a little bit about the pitching there with Fromber coming back on Sunday, maybe Javier soon after that, or Urquidy down the pike as well, and then, of course, the big two arms in the summer. The corresponding move with Fromber was J.P. France. Did that surprise you at all?
It did. Yeah, I didn't even notice who was on and off the charter last night, but I assumed JP wasn't on the charter. If he was bent down, I was thinking it was going to be Spencer Arrighetti, just because he's been the guy that's filled in, spot started, and then been sent back in the past. So, yeah, that did catch me off guard when I saw that, to be honest with you. And I don't know what the next plan is. So, obviously, there's space for Fromber, but I don't know if they have plans to bring up another reliever and maybe move Arrighetti up, because there's so many off days. You don't need that fifth starter for a while with Blanco going now and then Fromber. Then you've got Hunter Brown and JB on the next homestand. So you won't need that fifth starter for a while. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. But to answer your question, yes, that was a surprise to me to see JP set out.
TK, we look at first base. We know Abreu is struggling again and scuffling to the utmost. And John Singleton had a couple of hits in Chicago, but they're bringing Cabbage up for the series in Mexico City. We've kicked it around. Do you think that it's a possibility that Dubon starts getting reps at first base? He's been hitting the baseball. He's been reliable. Or is he just too valuable as like a Swiss Army knife?
I think you've got to see something change at some point. It's getting – I think you guys asked me a couple of shows ago, you know, what's the leash? And it's getting to that point now where if you get into May and then mid-May and things aren't changing and there's no signs of things improving, you've got to do something at first base. You just need more production offensively and more solid play defensively than what the Astros have been getting to this point 26 games in. So, yeah, I think you're at the point in the next 15 or 20 games things have to get turned around, or else I think you're going to see major changes, whether that's Dubon, whether it's Yiner getting a couple of starts at first base, whether it's a Cabbage or Joey Loperfido. One of those will probably be the better alternative to what has been going on now if things don't get turned around. So, yeah, Cabbage can do his thing. He's obviously in a spot here where you're in the highest altitude and elevation you'll ever play in a major league game. So if he can hit a couple of balls out and get himself some confidence, maybe he sees himself as the answer. But I think they're going to stay with the Abreu-Singleton combo for at least a few more weeks. But then beyond that, I think they have to get things turned around. You can't go past mid-May without seeing some improvement.
Todd Kalas joining us on the HRNP guest line. We were doing the show during yesterday's game, so we were watching from the corner of our eyes, and we realized that, oh, Joe Espada just got thrown out. What was your vantage point of that ejection? How did you see the build-up, et cetera, et cetera?
It was weird because the home plate umpire, Jansen Viscani, was kind of going at our dugout, and he was the one yelling more than I felt like the Astros dugout was yelling back. Joe was very calm, cool, collected, went out there, had a little say with Jansen, and then got tossed during that conversation. It wasn't very animated. He didn't get up in his face. He was frustrated to the point where he felt like he needed to say something about the balls and strikes. And once you argue balls and strikes, it's an automatic ejection. So, I don't know if Joe did it for purposes of firing up his team. I don't know if he has just reached his boiling point and just couldn't take it anymore. That's what he said in his post-game press conference. But it was kind of an unusual ejection at that point in the ninth inning, or bottom of the eighth, I think, or whatever it was late in that game. But, yeah, it was his first ejection. I'm sure he'll be a little more fiery on future ejections. This one was a little more calm. And the Astros just need to get things turned around, and hopefully for Joe Espada, they'll do it beginning tomorrow.
You know, we've talked to you in the past about, you know, the people being critical of Joe and putting Yordan in the two-hole and things like that. I was curious your thoughts on the follow-up move when he moved Bregman up. Bregman's been scuffling most of the year as well, contract year, got questions, got a little snippy yesterday. Your thoughts on moving him up in the lineup?
Yeah, I don't know what – he's tried everything with those top four. Obviously, Altuve's been his leadoff hitter, but he's gone Tucker – he's gone Alvarez, Tucker, Bregman, and he's gone – Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker, and now he's trying Bregman on top of those two lefties. To me, the two lefties have to be somewhere in your top four. That's obvious. Whether they go back to back or two or four or whatever. So you're looking at guys that could be candidates that could hit in that top four if you're thinking you need to move Bregman out of there. And, you know, frankly, I'd like to see Yiner Diaz and Jeremy Peña do it over a longer stretch if they are going to supplant Bregman in one of those top four spots in the lineup. I think Bregman, the track record's there. He's off to a slow start. Nothing new, I think, other than 2019 when he won AL runner-up for MVP. I think he's gotten off to a slow start every year in an Astros uniform, and he still ends up the season somewhere around 100 in RBIs and runs. It doesn't look like he's going to be on pace for anywhere near that right now, but that's been Bregman's MO in the past. So you've got to trust a guy that's been there and done it for your team for the last 7 years. I think it's a different scenario than what we're talking about with Abreu. I think Abreu, you're seeing the bat slow down a little bit at times. It's not been the same swing that we saw when he was with the White Sox. With Breggy, he keeps tinkering with that swing, and he just hasn't found any of the consistency. We saw him in spring training. He looked great. But lately, it's not been where he wants to be. So I would move him out of one of those top four or five spots just because your options aren't really guys that have been there in the trenches and done it like he has in the past.
Todd Kalas joining us on the HRNP guest line, voice of the Astros on the shin, I like to call it. Todd, I have a theory. I'm a huge baseball guy. I feel like, and I like talking batting orders and stuff, I think it's extremely overrated. Does Bregman hit second or third? Yordan second or fourth? All of these things. The Astros are one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball in terms of ERA, and we're talking about who needs to hit second and third. How much do you think batting orders really factor into the offense?
It's a factor. I do think it's a factor. I think, you know, once Joe gets to that point where he gets his lineup where he wants it and he's been tinkering, I think guys like to know that they're in a certain spot and can be expected to be in a certain spot. So, yeah, there's something that you're right, though. The pitching is what's been the biggest issue. I mean, the highest ERA in the American League, not being able to hold on to leads when they've had leads. The Astros, not that long ago, scored 25 runs over the weekend against the Rangers. They need to find that consistency on the road. This has been a team that dominated on the road last year, couldn't hit at home, and now it's flipped where they can't hit on the road. They scored, 40 runs in 13 games, so averaging just over 3 runs a game on the road, and that's not going to win you a lot of baseball games. So I've got to think this is going to be the tonic for an ailing offense on the road this year, is this two-game stretch in Mexico City. The numbers were off the charts last year when the Padres and Giants played here. The number of hits, the number of runs scored, it's going to be, you know, like going to Denver on steroids. 7,350 feet high here, elevation. It's a 300-foot fly ball could easily be a home run in this ballpark. So to your question, do lineups matter? Yes, but that's not been the biggest issue for this team.
Well, at least maybe that makes up for some of the balls that looked like they were getting out in Wrigley Field and with that wind didn't have a chance when it looked like they could have helped the Astros. I'm curious from a travel perspective, having been down there and done that, but also knowing what the effects can be, are you throwing caution to the wind? Are you drinking the water and getting out and enjoying the food and everything? Or are you playing it close to the vest, even though it's a two-game series and you can get back quickly if you need to?
No, I checked out Mexico City earlier today. I walked around probably about, 3 or 4 miles around the hotel, had a lunch at a local spot here. I'm not drinking the water. I'm going bottled water only, trying to stay on top of that. And even brushing my teeth, using bottled water for that, which is a little weird. But just trying to be really cautious because the Yankees had issues when they came down here. The Giants and Padres had some issues when they came back. So I don't even want to take a risk of the combination of altitude here and the potential of having, you know, anything with the water that could mess you up. So I'm still going to go do my thing and see the city just because I'm not going to sit in my hotel room when I'm in a foreign country or foreign place that I may never get back to again. But I'm definitely not throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Better to be safe than sorry. This is a dated question, so I apologize, but it's been on my mind ever since it happened, and I wasn't here last week. Did y'all ever get clarification on the Arcia home run into the Crawford boxes?
Okay, so MLB has never admitted the error, but everybody that you talk to that works in the Astros organization, especially guys in the video room and the coaching staff, feel like they've ruled that incorrectly. That it was, number one, ruled incorrectly by Phil Cuzzi, the second base umpire, because you're taught as an umpire with the boundary calls for home runs that you're supposed to err on the side of saying it's in play, so you let it work, play itself out. And then if you go back and overturn it, saying it's a home run, then it's fine, then you're okay that way. You're never supposed to, as an umpire, rule it a home run if there's any, like, a scintilla of doubt in your mind that it cleared the wall. So he, in his mind, saw clearly that it went over the wall. I did not like the timing on the review. It was like a minute. I don't think they looked at every relevant angle. TBS was doing the game nationally that day, and they had a clear angle that was not available to our broadcast, and their clear angle after the game showed that the ball clearly hit the yellow line that was on the side of the Crawford boxes and came directly back into play to Jake Meyer. So Arcia ended up with a home run when it should have been ruled a double correctly.
Yeah, I remember watching that play. I was like, that's not a home run. And then for some reason, I was watching you guys on mute that night. I think I was doing a baseball game, actually. So I was watching in the corner of my eye. Like, that's not a home run. And then I heard y'all talk about it later afterwards. I never understood how it was a homer. And it makes me feel better that it shouldn't have been a homer. So we appreciate you clarifying.
No, and I should have stuck to my guns, too, because I think I said originally that's not a home run. I was pretty emphatic about it. And then we got some conflicting information as the night went on about what that actual ground rule was.
Yeah.
And we got some inaccurate information. So, yeah. We tried to clarify it the next day, but that was definitely an incorrect call by the umpiring crew and by the replay officials back in New York.
Yeah, it's tough in the moment for you, though, because you have 100 people in your ear. TK, we appreciate the time. appreciate the time. Enjoy Mexico City. Hope you come back well and not sick.
I hope so, and I hope we come back with a couple of W's.
Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. Todd Kalas, the voice of the Houston Astros on the Shin, joining us. Our conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. How much time is really left for the Astros to save this season? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.